Hi, good morning once more, Mr. Solari, and I would like to apologize for having me wait for such a long time. And but finally, my name is Benny Masumene, like I have communicated earlier on, and I'm the chairperson of this committee. And we have Honorable Julius from the DA will also be grilling you at this morning, and Honorable Trede from the ANC. We are expecting two other members to join us, but because we should not keep you waiting for longer than we have in the DA.
No problem.
And firstly, I would like to thank you for applying for becoming one of our public service commissioners. It's not an easy job, I'm sure, from the advent and from what you've experienced as a public service commissioner too, but we really appreciate the fact that you have taken the initiative to say, I am available, and we wish you all of them, of all of the best for this interview. And please just sit back, relax, don't feel any pressure. All what you want from you is to give us your best. But also do that to the best of your ability. Right, if I may start there, could you just give us your background? Yes, we do have your CV, we have used all the documents that you have sent, but you know, sometimes it's good to hear it from the person themselves. What is it that you have done, especially experience, a written experience that you have had in the public service, if any, and also managerial experience that you have also in the public service or anywhere else. Just in a minute or
two. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. As you know, my name is Mark Solari. I'm born and bred in Cape Town. Grew up in the Elkies River area. Went to school in Dalar. From there, I moved to Johannesburg, where I started my working experience with the firm. Moved back to Cape Town after getting married. Been back now about 15 years. I've been with Nedbank for 26 years of that, and about 10 years of my 26 years experience with Nedbank has been in a management role, for the last 2 years being in a senior role as an area manager for Nedbank. So I have lots of experience on the management front with developing staff, managing staff, recruitment, empowering people, also on the compliance side, the performance, governance, and instilling in people a pride in order to want to develop themselves and to prosper. Right now I've got my own business with MKCS Investments, got a cell phone franchise. I've started recruiting people because the business has just started up. So that's the experience I bring to the table. As you can see from my CV, with Nedbank I have won numerous awards with coaching people and developing people and growing the business. So that is what I feel I can add value to the public service. Although I haven't been in the public service directly, I have negotiated at a very high level with senior people at corporate government companies, etc.
Thank you very much. And so you don't have much experience in public service as an employee,
no.
But obviously you have had interactions with the public service. Can you just share briefly with us what your intention is about the state of our public service? As you know, just your own evaluation as a person of your experience as a manager, what intentions do you have about the state of our public service?
One thing that's very close to my heart is the service aspect, and that is one thing that I try to instill in the employees that reported to me, whether directly or indirectly. Because at the end of the day, if you give good service, people will buy into you. And it's not only with corporate companies where the focus should be on service, it's even in government. For example, yesterday I had to go to Home Affairs in Belleville in order to get a copy of a little boy that I'm fostering, birth certificate. And I was amazed that there's been a huge change in the service from what it used to be. The people complaining about long queues and snail face service, etc. To me, yesterday was quite different, and I really appreciate the signage that has been going up. Directing people, and all those things make for a better experience. So yes, there's obviously still a lot that can be done, but I think it is moving in the right direction, and with my experience, I know that I can assist the public service in moving more steps going faster forward, because like I said, that has always been one of my passions.
My
strong point is I believe in people. I really want to uplift people and empower them. I normally, even as an area manager, I used to make it my duty to sit with the most junior person in the business and explain to them the bigger picture, how things fit together. Because if people miss that, they don't buy into what you're trying to sell them. And they just feel, I'm just here to do a job, and if I just do what I'm supposed to do, that's fine. If they don't see how it all clicks together, they're not going to want to do better and improve. So those are the patterns that I'm very strong on values, integrity, and those things. Some of the weaknesses is that I don't like a lot of paperwork, and I'm more action orientated. I've gone into the system, I've read the various reports from the public service department. For example, there's one on inconsistencies when it comes to disciplinary hearings. And those are the things that need to be tackled. And I would like to have an opportunity to assist in doing that, where I put action into place. So the weakness is, yes, I know that I need to do reports and these things, which is fine. But I will get very agitated if there's no accent stemming from it. So.
What is your understanding of the role of public
service? From what I've read and listened and having gone through the mission and the values and etc., I see it is very important for the commissioner to make sure that the values that's entrenched in the constitution, that we root out corruption and those things, and that the service that being delivered to the public, from the public service sector, that it gets uplifted to a level where people will say, this is where we want to be, this is the South Africa that we are all contributing to and that is assisting us in getting across to the next level.
And that's not going to call your point, but I would like to know, do you know anything about the PDA? I'm not going to call your point today.
Okay.
I'm just asking. Out of curiosity.
If you can just... It's about creating a better Cape, a better community for the people.
Carry on.
As I mentioned and alluded to, is that the report that I read, I think it was close to approximately 100 pages, where they analyzed all the different provinces and disciplinary issues and the different outcomes and issues. And I think that one must strive towards consistency, because if somebody in the Western Cape gets away with stealing money, to put it bluntly like that, and somebody in Joburg gets fired, and he thinks it's going to create animosity, and it's going to say to the next person in Cape Town, look, it's fine if we do these type of things. So at the end of the day, you're not going to root it out if there isn't consistency. And people need to be aware. I mean, I think there should be a bigger drive towards creating an awareness of what the values are that the public service are striving for, and also have service champions, people that can be ambassadors, that will say that this is what I did and this is why I got all these people's issues sorted out, that's why there's no complaints in my department and these things. When you reach that level, it will just encourage others to want to live up to that and say that if that person is progressing and making huge strides in life, so if I do the same, then it will create a different dynamic in this public service.
You have outlined, you know, the role of the Public Service Commission as a whole, but can you mention some of the functions that are carried out by a Public Service Commission? That is, when you wake up and get into the office, what is it that you will be doing as a Public Service Commissioner?
Obviously, one of the main functions would be to engage with the different departments that makes up the public administration and to find out how you can assist them to improve their service, and then to report on it, to analyze with them where's the gaps and the loopholes, so that you can sit with them and say, okay, let's find creative ways of overcoming these issues so that we have less complaints. And then there'll be less burden on the public service. It's also engaging with outside people like corporate companies and getting a flair of different management styles as to how we can manage the departments better, because everybody gets different type of experiences, and I think it's the cross-pollination of those experiences are critical, because they might be doing something that's wowing people that we need on this side, and the same thing that we can take across to them. And the same with working with the police, working with the Department of Justice, and finding out how we can get consistencies in rooting out corruption and malpractices. I don't know if that's answering the question.
Thanks. And now, looking at the Public Service Commission per se, not the public service in general.
Okay.
In your view, do you think the Public Service Commission is actually being effective in improving the services that are delivered by the public service? And if not, what is it that you think still has got to be done or to improve the way the Public Service Commission carries out its duty?
I think, and like I mentioned, with my experience yesterday at the Home Affairs office, there has been huge strides made. I just know that it can be the transformation, and as well as creating the opportunity for people to take the service level to the next level. As the foundation has been laid, but we now need to build on that in order to enhance it and improve on it. The one where people, the public experience will be one that they won't complain anymore. And that is where I think the commission office is critical, is to make sure that those things filter through to the various departments.
Linda,
yes.
Can I ask you
any further questions?
Mark, are there any challenges in the public service? Are there any challenges in the public service that need the attention of the Public Service Commission? If so, what are they?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is obviously the service delivery, and that is what the Public Service Commissioner's main focus should be, is how to improve the service. The rest is the delivery of the service, the eliminating of the corruption, how to improve on these things, how to assist government in delivering to the people.
From me, the last few, you know, the Public Service Commission from time to time produces reports on the work that they have done.
Mm.
Which are the most important reports, in your view, that are being produced by the Public Service Commission?
I think the most important one is where they stipulate how many... I think the most important reports are the ones that's going through to Parliament and stipulating how many corruption cases were dealt with, has the financial objectives been met in the public service, and turnaround times, issues like that.
Okay, finally then, with your experience and background, knowledge, what value do you think you will add as a person in the Public Service Commission?
The values that I will add is not only the passion for delivering better service, but it's the how to be accountable for what you're supposed to be delivering. I am strong when it comes to integrity, Christian values, values of respect, and what the values that the service, Public Service Commission's office stands for. I will make sure that those are in print, because those are basically the same values that I live every day.
Okay, I'm sure.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry to take you back to your qualification experience. You didn't give us. You only gave us work experience.
Oh, sorry.
Could you tell us a little bit about what is your...
Okay. I have a certificate in marketing management, a certificate in public relations. I have a management advancement program through the Wits Business School. I have various diplomas for accountancy, various management courses that I've done at Technicon as well as outside private institution level.
Thank you,
sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Solari. I would like to thank you once more for showing an interest in serving the public of the people of South Africa. Thank you so much, and we will inform you accordingly about the outcome of this interview. And you are not traveling very far.
No, no.
You are just
down the road.
Just down the road. Enjoy your short journey back home. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Honorable Chair,
maybe he might want to ask questions from us.
Yes. Thank you for
the mention. Well, look, like I've said, I haven't worked in the public service before, so I hope that that's not going to count against me. I just know that I can add value. I'm a very passionate person, and I love empowering people, especially our people that has always been neglected. So as part of the public service, if given the opportunity, I will make sure that those things are delivered in such amounts that will dumbfound some people. But if you can maybe just tell me how long the process will be, by when will I know?
Yeah, okay, thank you for that question. We intend to process this and make information available by the end of this year. By the end of this year, you'll be knowing exactly whether you will be employed or not.
Okay. That's
all.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Off the record, if you answer things, the
chairperson
told you I'm a
DX. That's not
your kid,
that's
why I had it in your
mouth. I'm not sure what that is supposed to mean, but thank you once more, Mr. Solari.
Well,
thank you.
I've always been on that side of the table. It's difficult on this side. I never thought I'll be on this side. The last time I was this side was 26 years ago. So I'm totally nervous. But in any case, thank you for your time.
No, no, no.
For me, it's like when you never attend committee meetings, but when there's debate in parliament, when you want to run and stand on the podium and you want to talk a lot of
That's cool.
That's what I previously talk about, the do's and the don'ts.
We don't want to be too involved.
Okay,
no,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
like
okay,
you can drink something, but not to be the second one is
good morning, Professor Klapper, and welcome once more.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you so much.
You want me to
take
it? All right. If I may officially do so, although I know you know me very well, my name is Jane Matsumela, and I'm the chairperson of this portfolio committee. And with me, I have Honorable Ulysse from the Democratic Alliance, and Honorable Chwete from the African National Congress. So we are also pleased to have you here, and we are really appreciative of the fact that you found it right to apply for this particular job. We really appreciate your interest in becoming a public service commissioner.
And may I also just say congratulations on your appointment to chair of the portfolio committee.
Okay. Thank you very much. If I may declare, especially to my colleagues, that Professor Klapper was my lecturer. So I just want you to know that there's that relationship. But other than that, I don't have no conflict of interest whatsoever. Yes, yes, thanks. Now, Prof, we have looked at your letter of application, your CV and your qualifications, but we would also like to hear it from you. If you can just briefly, in a minute or so, just give us your background in terms of where you come from academically and your work experience in the public service. What is that? Right. Same. Experience, especially managerial experience. If you could just share that with us for in a minute or two.
Thank you. Very briefly, I was born in Johannesburg. I grew up there. My first tertiary studies was at University of the Western Cape. I continued through to UNISA. I also had a stint in the United States where I completed a Bachelor of Theology, but my public administration doctorate is from the University of South Africa. My first work experience was as a pastoral minister, you know, in the church. Actually, before that, I worked in insurance companies for a little bit, but when it really started counting for me was when I served as pastor for 3-4 years, and then I went into academia. My current job is, I'm at Swan University of Technology. I am a research professor in the department, and that's been for the past 6 years. The rationale of the research professor was for research development in the university, but also in my department in particular. Why? Because when the transformation came from technic onto universities of technology, we had to rapidly increase our research capacity in order to compete with universities. So I managed the research portfolio of my department, but also cooperatively I managed the research portfolio with my with another colleague, another one professor. There were not too many professors at that time in the faculty. So those were my primary responsibilities at the Technicon, whether at the University of Technology. The result was that currently, while there were only two doctors in my department at the time, there are now maybe 6 doctorates and numerous master's students as colleagues, but also outside of the college. So that was my primary managerial responsibility was for research development. I've also had to deal, that meant having to deal with the finances. That meant having to deal with recruitment and selection of who will we be trying to get the right types of candidates for research. That also meant external liaison. And I think that's where we started working with Parliament in terms of research development, development of managerial training, etc. I've been doing quite a lot of work, particularly on leadership and management, with NIA, with National Intelligence. They don't want me to tell you that, though. primarily that is what I was doing, but since last year, because a lot of transformations have been taking place in our department itself, so since last year I had to head the department as an additional component to my research development, because the head of department just suddenly up and went because of the institutional issues, academic politics, etc., which meant that I had to deal with it up to this point in time. Because of the merger, we have different campuses, and so my focus campus was Pretoria Technicon itself, University of Technology itself.
Thank you, Professor. And now coming back now to the Public Service Commission per se,
yeah.
Would you tell us what you understand to be the function, the major functions of the Public Service Commission?
All right. Thank you. The functions of the Public Service Commission has actually changed since before 1994, when it used to be known as the Commission for Administration Transformations. Because of the transformations in 1994, etc., the Public Service Commission's job has primarily it had the responsibility for inculcating a public service ethos and a public service morality. It also had to focus quite a bit on human resource development particularly when it came to the monitoring and evaluation of what has been transpiring in the transforming public service. The rationale of the public service transformation was that it should ultimately reflect the profile of the South African Republic and its people, its socio-economic structures, etc. And so the public service was there to assist the DPSA primarily, because it functions under the DPSA or within the confines of the DPSA, even though it's totally independent, within the confines of the DPSA, the idea was to inculcate, in terms of monitoring and evaluation, in terms of ethics, in terms of HR development, etc. So the Public Service Commission being established under 196, Section 196.10 of the Constitution, it primarily functions within the context of Chapter 10 of the Constitution, which is primarily then an ethics focus.
Thank you. Member?
Please call me Valiant. It doesn't matter.
What is your impression about the Public Service Commission at the moment?
At the moment, if you talk to the Public Service Commission itself, it claims to have been very successful over the past few years, particularly when it comes to research, serving portfolio committees. Many of the portfolio committees have been requiring statistical information, particularly in regard to HR and turnover, etc. On these counts, the Public Service Commission have been doing very well. The Public Service Commission has been struggling to get their monitoring and evaluation ship afloat. They have been doing quite a lot, but much of it has been rather theoretical. So I think in a nutshell, the Public Service Commission has been struggling to bring theory into practice. They've been doing quite a lot of excellent research. My view, for example, on the research, the ethics research and the ethics reports that the Public Service Commission has been disseminating, is that it's been very theoretical. It's where the Public Service Commission, along with the DPSA, and also with SAMDI, which is now Palama, where they should have focused on the inculcation, the development of an ethos. I think they simply looked at whether public service or public officials are ethical, rather than teaching them to be ethical. So I think particularly on that score, the Public Service Commission needs to sort of change here, do what they are doing in terms of the research, but becoming more proactive. If one looks internationally, there are many tools that could be used for ethics training. We unfortunately in the public service, and I think that lies within the domain of the Public Service Commission. In public administration, we have not dealt with ethics training. We've really dealt with ethics reporting and corruption, reporting of corruption and so on. While that is an excellent stance, I think it's important that stance should be more proactive in training. And I think that is something that needs to be taken care of quite urgently.
I just want to follow up on that, Honorable Chair. I'll give you an opportunity. Okay. Then, on that note, having said what you have just said, what is your view regarding the fact that the Commission only have recommending powers and not enforcing powers?
Yeah.
What is your view in that regard?
And that is part of the of the problem that I try to enunciate, but only part of it. You know, I think in terms of recommending and working along with the DPSA and Palama around training, where Palama's training is at focus, or focus is training, the Public Service Commission could really become more proactive in working along with them. Then it becomes more than recommendations. It becomes the Public Service Commission has a lot of evidence to prove that their training is necessary. In terms of its recommending powers, I think that is constitutional, and the Auditor General would have the same kind of argument, that we only have recommending powers. I think the Public Service Commission has the right kind of ties with such people such as yourselves, the portfolio committees and so on, that they have more clout in terms of trying to inform. These are the problems, these are our recommendations, but please take it seriously, because if one looks at a long view of what should happen in the public service, These are arguments, the public service has cogent arguments for saying that our recommendation power should be more than simply considerations. Take it seriously. If you are serious about corruption, if you are serious about poverty alleviation, which corruption standing in the way of that, the Public Service Commission should, I think it has more powers than simply recommending. It could recommend with better evidence. I know, for example, that two chairpersons ago, Honorable Member Gomomo, he wrote very strongly to Minister Kader Asmal, where he was Minister of the or Chair of the Ethics Committee, around the fact that there are only recommendation powers, but those powers, while it is constitutional, should be taken more seriously. How to enforce that? I think it's around that kind of arrogating, arguing to the right people, and yourselves are the right people. Mm-hmm. That would because while you know what's happening out there, they have evidence to prove it, statistical evidence. You know, sometimes you can only guess, but they have the real stuff. And I'm saying, let us do more than simply garnering research evidence, but let that research evidence be made into reality. And so that is where talking to you, convincing yourself, advocating, is one of the more important aspects of the Public Service Commission. I would like to.
Thank you, Professor. I really wish this was not an interview, that we could be debating this issue,
yeah.
But I'm sure an opportunity will come. Yes. Yeah.
Now,
in your view, again, Professor, well, you have already highlighted some of the challenges that are facing the Public Service Commission, but do you think the Public Service Commission is doing whatever they are doing efficiently, and what would you consider to be the major challenge facing the Commission at the present moment?
In terms of their research, in terms of benchmarking tools for applications in South African context, I think the Public Service Commission has been very efficient. One only has to make use of their libraries and the results of their research to know that they've been doing excellent work. My concern still is putting it into reality, because we still sit with corruption. We still sit with high turnover rates in the public service. We still sit with challenges around affirmative action and bringing affirmative action into reality. These are the kind of recommendations that the Public Service Commission has been looking at. The kind of research results, but making those into recommendations, monitoring and evaluation, and so on. Those have been real problems. I sometimes think, if I look at the status quo, what are the current real problems that faces the public service, and then directly the Public Service Commission along with its counterpart or its partners, DPSA, etc., would be how are we going to bring the single public service to life, if it ever comes to life, and all indications are that it's going to, the debate has been going a long while, and there are very cogent reasons why it should be. But that's going to have a great strain, bring a great strain onto its limited resources, right? And it's going to have to, they are going to have to think differently about how they are going to deal with it. They're going to have to think very differently about how are they going to retain young expertise. The public service and government has been putting a lot of money, and I know that because I've also been in the forefront of the training, etc. A lot of money into training, but many of those people who are trained ultimately leave the public service, or they go from department to department without having developed any kind of real focus. How are we going to deal with it? I think we often think that, and I am one of those people who, when I talk to my students, my question to them is always, why do you change jobs so often? You know, within the public sector, department, why do you do that? Why don't you remain in one place? But I think we need to think differently in that way, because many of these young people, 20-somethings and so on, they've seen their parents just losing pensions, being put out of jobs and so on. So in terms of loyalty, they need to have another type of loyalty. I think Public Service Commission has to work on those kind of things, in terms of recommendations, in terms of liaising with universities, in terms of liaising with the private sector, in as much as it works in government. I mean, we are a South African society, and I think holistic approaches to these methods are going to be very important. Understanding, engaging young people, developing that service ethos that we've spoken about, that's in Chapter 10 of the Constitution. How do we develop these things to understand that where's loyalty in our day, in our understanding generally, is longevity. You must be, if you've been in government for 30 years and you've been loyal, that is not necessarily a good definition for loyalty. You know, it could be that those younger generation people have a different kind of loyalty. Efficiency versus reward. The better I'm rewarded, the more I'm likely to stay. And I think these are the kind of things that we need to be looking at. A loyalty is not longevity. Loyalty can be very different, and I think we need to engage young people in it. And I think that is one of the more important roles. So in summary, I would say developing the public service ethos is a very important challenge. Number two, if, and I should not say if, when the single public service comes to life, how are we going to deal with it? You know, and the Public Service Commission has a great role to play in that if we play it correctly. I'm saying we, as if I've already got a job. And then how to deal with HR, and particularly with young people. You know, young people are not afraid to change jobs.
Yes.
You know, they are not afraid. And you don't want to invest so much as we've done since 94 in young people and just finding them jumping ship or leaving the public service and going elsewhere with all the money that we've put into them. I think these are the primary issues. And then, of course, the mandated methods of monitoring and evaluation, liaison research, etc., need to be taken care of very urgently.
Another
one.
We're still struggling with the most managers, the understanding of affirmative action.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about
that. And I saw your response when I talked about it.
Yes, for you. What is your understanding? Because most people talk about, you know, it's lip service most of the time. When they come to present here,
yeah,
you find different types, opposite of affirmative action.
Yeah.
What would you do to make sure that the understanding of the affirmative action, but I had to talk about it, your understanding of affirmative action.
Okay. My understanding of confession and how one could bring it to reality.
Yeah.
I am totally convinced that affirmative action, while it's constitutional, it needs to be understood within a context.
Mm-hmm.
And I think originally our context was our apartheid past and how to sort of level the playing fields within the context of reconstruction and development, our new constitution. So I think that was the main context. We had to develop or change the public service, just thinking of the public service now,
mm-hmm.
and not private sector. The public service profile had to change in order to relate to the community and South African society. Affirmative action, to me, does not only mean changing profile in terms of pigmentation.
Mm.
But affirmative action, I think a wiser understanding or an understanding that will deliver on our developmental imperative requires expertise. Right. But we didn't have that expertise, the majority of people in our country. And in turn, we didn't have the luxury of time for experience. And anyway, I think the previous expertise was also an environmental, determined by the environment, an apartheid type of expertise. So we sit with these people who need to come into the public service, who doesn't have the expertise, who needs to develop this kind of expertise. I think we have not spent enough time in developing that kind of expertise. I know that in the mid-90s, we started out with mentorship programs, but even the mentorship programs, the problem with that was that if you are disenchanted and you are going to be losing your job within the next while, why would you give over or hand over the right kind of expertise to your to the person that you are mentoring? And I think this was part of the issue. Over time, I think we have discovered that our application of affirmative action, simply appointing somebody on the basis of disability, on the basis of pigmentation, on the basis of gender, has not achieved the goals that we have set, the developmental goals. While we've changed our profile, I think that's excellent. If we look from outside, I think affirmative action has worked, but if you look at service delivery, affirmative action has had quite a few challenges. And I think that is because of the not understanding also our real training needs. So I think if we apply affirmative action, we need to understand why are we applying affirmative action? What are our ultimate goals? Rationalization required that affirmative action's ultimate goal is pigmentation. But developmentalism and real transformation and service delivery require that expertise. We are going to continue to have a real, and I think it relates to what I said earlier on about the right kind of training, the right kind of management, even of affirmative action. Because I think some of our managers are sometimes too politically correct to speak up when things are not going right. And I think sometimes our managers need to have the guts to say, but you are messing up. No matter which political party you belong to, no matter which gender or disability group you fall into, according to the Public Service Act, when you're on your job, you are not practicing politics. You are delivering services. There's a country out there that needs your services. So I would think, in a nutshell, if I may just summarize, it is about changing the profile, number one, but it's also about providing that profile with the right kind of expertise over time. Mm. And I think mentoring can work, but I think the right kind of programs, leadership programs, skills development, etc., would be very important. I think there are many. And this is the last word I want to say around this. I think there are many affirmative action candidates that are very embarrassed because they sit in jobs and they cannot deliver the goods. Yeah. And I don't think they are to be blamed. Yeah. I think those who appointed them are to be blamed.
Chair, I must immediately withdraw the question because Professor asked a question 2 minutes ago what I wanted. Because I wanted to know by him if he is appointed in this position, will he let any politics influence his decisions? It was a question, but you answered me already.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just to go back a bit on this affirmative action issue. Do you think, as a public service, we have reached a point where we can assess our success in as far as affirmative action is concerned, vis-a-vis the level of productivity or the quality of service that we are delivering?
I would have to say yes and no. Again, in terms of rationalization, in terms of changing the public service, the profile of the public service, the numbers, etc., I think to a large extent there's been a great deal of success. I think in terms of disability, in terms of gender, there are still some problems there. But there's been, even in those areas, there's been good success. But that to me is only in terms of the profile. In terms of productivity, not. Right? And particularly considering the finances, the funds, the capital resources that we've put into training. I think the problem is that we've identified the right people, and we've identified training, but not necessarily the right people for the right type of training. I think if we can bring these things together, what's required of you as a public official? This is required of you. This is how you can achieve it. This is the type of skills or training that you that could help you achieve that. I don't think that all that has always come together. I have, for example, in the past 5 to 10 years, where I've been doing a lot of training for government, you sit with a group of public officials who don't really want to be there, because they've been told by their DGs or so on, you go for training. I decide this is the kind of training. So that kind of consultation does not take place. And I think that's a sign of weak management. Right? And that creates, again, different frustrations, because that individual goes back to her job situation with new skills, but skills that cannot be applied. So I think that skills versus job needs need to be addressed so that we can link those together. I'm of the opinion that we could have gotten away with much less expenditure on training if we had done the right kind of training, you know, and if we had identified the right kind of people to do the training. Because I think sometimes also our friends do the training, you know, and I think that's dangerous. I'm saying the wrong stuff here, man.
No.
The Public Service Commission, from time to time, releases reports on the work that they have done. In your view, I suppose they are all important. That's why they are produced. But in your view, which are the most important and why?
Most importantly, I think there would be two groups of products that the Public Service Commission has delivered that are very important. That would be the work around ethics and corruption, and it's also the work around monitoring and evaluation. I think it's important because these are, in terms of corruption and ethics, it's important because we are struggling under the scourge, particularly in the public sector. Well, I'm saying particularly in the public sector because that's my focus. The fact of the matter is, private sector is totally corrupt, and we don't say enough about that. Right? It's been alerting us to the level and the gravity of corruption in our country. Monitoring and evaluation, that's important within the context of productivity, simple work productivity. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Which are the benchmarks and so on? So these are two excellent products. But my problem comes to both of them from where I'm sitting. Not recommended the right kind of things. How do we deal with corruption? It's one thing, I think we all know we are corrupt, but what do we actually do? How do we deal with the corruption? How can we develop that ethos, that public service ethos, what do we say? Public service is a calling, not a job. How to develop that kind of ethos, and how to develop that kind of understanding in terms of monitoring and evaluation? These are the jobs that we are evaluating, but is it the right kind of job that we should be evaluating? Are we using the right kind of tools given our context and so on? So a lot of work has been done, but in my opinion, it's just not going far enough. There's that next step, step from theory to practice, that's very important. That step which I would like to call, I got this from a public official, really. Maybe just a brief background. I was dealing with a seminar on Batupele, and I was talking to the structures, how within our organizational structures Batupele doesn't quite fit in there. You cannot really have a hierarchical structure and make it participative, you know. And Batupele requires participation. It requires that kind of input. And one public official got up at the end of the seminar and she said to me, we want to do that. We hear what you're saying. We agree with what, but how do we do it? And I think that is the question out there. You know, how do we do it? And in the absence of that, how, we become lackadaisical about what we're doing, because we can become frustrated and we take easy ways out, and that leads to corruption. So I'm saying that practical part needs to be taken care of very specifically. It's not easy. but it's doable. It's been done in some departments in our country. You know, it's been done in some of the ministries. It's been done in other countries. We need to benchmark these and get these success stories. And I'm totally convinced that not all public officials are corrupt. It's a small percentage, but that small percentage makes the whole country look very dead.
So in your view, the reports are fine, but we just need that practical aspect.
Yeah, but even in terms of the report, going that extra step, you know, these are oftentimes the reports don't read as recommendations, but rather as reports, just that. This is what we have found. Not so what are we going to do about it. I think that needs to be... The five-year plan that the new DG, or that she's not new anymore, but that the DG in the Public Service Commission has introduced recently, that's for between 2008 up to 2013, I believe it is. The five-year plan seems to begin to deal with precisely that. So I think there is an awareness that they need to take a step back and deal with the with actual recommendations, not only saying we have recommendation power, but let our recommendations make actual sense.
Yeah, I listened to you very carefully, and as a member of parliament, you know what? I there's a question for the chair in parliament waiting. The question is, can't we change to get to your point where we can see something happening? Can't we change the committee, the Public Service Commission committee, to a standing committee? You know why? Because these recommendations come through from the commission, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's only recommendations. And what I want to see is action. Not to say we must run after the staff and chop and, you know, whatever them, but if you steal, something must, there must be something on book. That is what's going to happen to you. See what I'm saying? If you do a good job, we must try and keep you here, the young ones, keep them here, but they want security. And they want to work in a nice environment. Understand? So, somehow, the recommendations from a public service commission must be enforced. Yes. Thank you, Prof.
May I see red, please, Prof?
In our understanding of the security that young people want, I think it's a different type of security than what we want.
Yes.
You know, I'm working for my pension. I want to work in a place for 10, 20 years and so on. That's our understanding of security. I think young people understand security differently.
Yes.
You know, they want to be, to them, security is that they want to be mobile.
Yes.
They want to be, for example, be able to work from home and still do their work because they have... technology has allowed us to be efficient and effective and productive without being in a particular building, you know. And I think we see too much of it. If we, for example, and I can use Eastern Cape, I think it's sufficiently away, far away from here right now. But if one looks at Eastern Cape, remember the report that we get from the public survey that the jackets are over the desks. So we know that somebody came in, you know. And
it's my problem.
It's your problem. let's go to Gauteng. but the point is made that, it's not about a physical presence that makes you productive. And young people understand that, you know.
Yeah.
So and in the private sector, their private sector counterparts are in London and in everywhere, and still they deliver their services, you know, because they use the ICTs and so on. That's the kind of security that young people need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but how to bring that to fruition in the public service context? I think we need to talk about these things.
Yeah.
We don't talk about these things. We still measure a totally new generation. We brag that we are in the 21st century, but we are still working with 1990s tools, you know. And I think these are some of the challenges. And I think the Public Service Commission, along with the DPSA, are in the right kind of framework to make those kind of important culture shifts. I'm talking about organizational culture shifts, mind shifts about what is security, what is good tenure, what does productivity mean, what is efficiency, and how can we best serve our people. You know.
Well, please. statement was made before the listing. We are out to old generation, you know, the leaders can think they must change in parliament the listing and put younger people on the list. Even first after.
Okay. That's
I suppose there's some.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to answer that one, Prof. You don't have to. Professor, we need to round off now. With your experience, I see most of your experience is in the academia. I would like to know what value you think you will add if we were to appoint you as a public service commissioner, in the sense that we are sitting with a public service, especially at managerial level, of people who have got academic qualifications, but there is that missing link that you have referred to earlier on, that people seem to understand what the public service is in academically, theoretically. But when we come to practice, delivery, we see that with people with very high degrees, but they are not delivering the service that our people expect. So with your academic background and having observed that missing link, how do you think you would add value in the Public Service Commission?
Thank you for that question. I think it's absolutely pertinent, particularly within the context of Constitution Chapter 10. What kind of value do I think I would be able to bring to the play? The fact of the matter is that I think my exposure to academia over years and my personal interest in academic issues pertaining to the public service in particular has given me a heightened sensitivity to that practice versus theory challenge that we are sitting with, and I'm totally convinced that the kind of contribution that I could bring is that kind of understanding, that kind of theoretical understanding, that kind of need for the particularly the personal. I would like to think that if I would leave employ the Public Service Commission one day, if I should be appointed now, I would like to think that the one legacy that I would want to leave is the fact that I've inculcated in the South African public service a spirit of taking public service personally. Because I think it's too easy for us in the public service even to hide behind crowds, to hide behind departments and so on. I think once we begin to talk more and to introduce those punitive measures that you spoke of, if you do something wrong, you are going to be punished personally. If you do something right, you're going to be rewarded personally. If you are going to take public service personally, then you are going to realize that if I don't deliver a product, it's not only for the people out there in the street. I'm disempowering myself. I'm impoverishing myself as well. I think taking public service personally means having people understand that you're not entitled to a job. This is an important calling. Be serious about what you are doing. You know, if things go wrong economically in the country, you are also going to suffer. If things go right, you are going to benefit. So it's an ethos that I would like to inculcate very specifically, and I think I can bring that to the public service commission from the fact of the matter that I have that academic background and I have a heightened sensitivity around these things. It's always been very important for me for the public service and academia to work together. In answering these questions, because I think the public service cannot do it on its own, you know, and it doesn't make sense for us to develop graduates, having them placed in jobs, and then they forget about what's happening out there, and they forget about constant continued learning. I think that these are some of the real things that I could bring to the Public Service Commission, specifically, and to the public administration generally in South Africa. It's absolutely important for us to continue benchmarking. The kind of, and you'll pick it up from my CV, the kind of relationship that I've forged, not only nationally but internationally, thinking particularly of the United States, etc. These are the kind of things that we could bring into play here. And yeah, I'm not only talking about political friendships or experienced friendships, but real relationships. People who respect me for what I can bring to academia and to their thinking, etc. And people that I respect that we could learn from for purpose of what we are doing here. So yeah, I think ultimately, as I said, I would like to leave the Public Service Commission behind one day and say the one thing that I've contributed primarily is for public officials to understand that they need to take public service personally. If they don't, then they are going to never be committed, never be loyal, and they will ultimately not be able to produce.
No, briefly, I think this is the last one from briefly. What is your passion? My observation is that passion is the thin line between performance and non-performing. Mm. Briefly, what is your passion?
My passion is to disseminate knowledge, you know, not simply theory, but actually what to do with theory. That is my primary passion. If I may refer to, for example, one of the classes that we had, you know, here at Parliament, it's always been my concern that we all run around with the nicest, most beautiful computers and phones, etc., and all we do is play with it or watch porn, you know, depending on who you are. And the one thing that I've been trying to say to the members is that why don't you use these things to make it possible for you to be democratic, to develop and democracy within your constituencies. The one thing that I've been saying to them is you could use your phone to SMS each and every member in your constituency and inform them about how things are going by using e-government. We talk about e-government and e-democracy, Parliament for the People and so on, but Parliament for the People needs to be a continuous thing, not only when we go out to our constituencies or when we have the in Daba, you know, the people's what do you call it, people's conferences? I think Imbizo, that's the word I'm looking for. I'm thinking that we have the technologies. Why don't we use that to talk to the people constantly, inform your constituents what it's about. The point I'm trying to make is that I'm saying we have this knowledge, we've got these, but we're not using it for the right stuff, you know.
Passion.
Yeah, so I think that's my final intention, to make knowledge real.
Thank you very much, Prophet. Any question from your side? Sorry, do you still have other questions?
No. Okay.
The one question, and some of the questions that I had actually came up in the type of question that you asked. You forced me to answer my own questions. But the one question that I certainly have is the question around the recommendation powers of the Public Service Commission, making those more real. And I think I've answered it partially my own question by saying that some of these recommendations are not really recommendations, they are simply reports. I think that's something that we need to work on to get the Public Service Commission along with portfolio committees, etc. A more personal question from my point of view relative to the job is I'm aware that you're having to deal with this thing under a great deal of pressure, time-wise, and the changes and transformation that you are experiencing here. But when could we anticipate some kind of response, given the fact that you were at the end of our academic year, you know, and end of the year, so we need to make plans, etc.
Yes, I appreciate the fact that you are aware of the pressure under which we are operating, but we will do our best to ensure that by the end of this year you'll know exactly what the outcome of this interview is. Fine.
Thank you very much again for the invitation for the very early flight.
Okay. No, we thank you very much for the interest. Thank you for coming, and we wish you all of the best and in whatever you are doing and you will be doing soon. Thank you very much.
Could I just say one thing? I realized that I forgot to put a list of reference to my list. I brought that to you.
Well, according to our timing, she's supposed to come in at 11:30.
Oh,
and only what time is it? Yeah, it's 5:00. So I think we can have a quick break.
Okay.
And that's how I left for this session.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You may start a bit earlier if you play before.
How many people are you having to do? Okay.
But we're moving quite fast, yeah? But this cross at one stage, I had to remind myself that, hey, by the way, I'm not in the class too.
Because you go on and on and on and on.
Okay.
Come in tomorrow for the test and the exact reason.
This is me, Malejo, Josephine Ranefatan. Mutajo. Okay, all right. Welcome, ma. And my name is Jane Masumela, and I'm the chairperson of this committee. And I have with me Honorable Ulysse from the DA, who will also be asking you questions, as well as Honorable Chwede, the members of this panel. And we would like to welcome you and thank you for showing an interest in serving us as a public service commissioner. We are not here to grill you.
Thank you.
We just want to get the best from you. So please just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride with us. Okay?
Now,
and I just want to clear something with you, that these proceedings are being recorded for purposes of the minutes. We hope you don't mind that.
I don't.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Okay. Right, just to start off, we have gone through your CV, your letter of application, and we think we know a bit about you. But now that you are here, we would like to give you an opportunity, just in a minute or two, to give us your background, where you come from, what you have been doing, what experience do you have as in the public service and at a managerial level, just in about a minute or two.
I thank you for that opportunity. Originally, I'm from Limpopo, but I'm residing in Gauteng, East Rand, Boksburg. I schooled in Limpopo, my primary, my secondary, and the university level. I went to the University of the North, now it's called the University of Limpopo. That's where I've done my BProc, I've done my LLB, which is by then, not the LLB now, by then it was a postgraduate degree. I've done it with the University of Limpopo. And I've also had the opportunity to do the bookkeeping. That was in 1990, when I was still waiting for my application to go to the university. And from there, I've finished my studies, my LLB in 1995. And in December, I've joined the Eastern Gauteng Services Council. Now it's Ekurhuleni, because thereafter there was amalgamation and all other things. So I've worked there as a legal advisor and as an acting manager at a legal division for 3 years. And I also joined the Pietersburg TLC municipality by then. It's Polokwane Local Municipality. And where I was heading a division, that's where my managerial skills have started to unfold. I think I was with the Pietersburg TLC for a period of 3 years as well. In 2002, I was appointed by the CCMA as a commissioner. That's where I started, where we decided, main functions is to decide cases, dispute resolutions. That's where I've been with the CCMA, and on the other side, I had to open a practice because I was qualified in law, of course, and I was admitted as an advocate in 1996. So that's when I was working for the local municipality, the EGSC in Jemison. So I'm practicing, and I'm also a commissioner with the CCMA, and presently I'm also doing the cases as commissioner for the local government bargaining council. Two of them, the other one is for the police, the SBC, and the other one is local government bargaining council. That's where I am presently. And the management skills from the EGSC point of view, when I started there, because I worked as a legal advisor, and I was appointed as the acting manager for the division, and that's where I've started as well. The management skills have started long in 1996, and up to now, when I'm managing my practice and other offices, and I'm also a board member, and I'm also a counsel for the National Museum. That is just a new appointment. Of course, we know they are not a full-time appointment. We go there when the meetings are set. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate. You have not worked like full-time in the public service. Is that my understanding? Or have I missed something?
No, you did not miss anything.
Anything.
I've never in a fiscal accepted to go and do cases or do the dispute resolution as I'm doing as a commissioner myself, for fiscal as an employee in a public service. No, but my experience starting from the local government and doing the cases, even now working with the public service, doing, and as well for I think since 2004, I've been also involved in the dispute resolution as a commissioner for the public service bargaining council. That's where I've interacted in the public service.
Okay. Could you just briefly tell us what you understand to be the function or functions of the Public Service Commission?
The functions are so clear as they are listed in the Constitution and also in the Act, because the Commission is established in terms of the Act. Those functions, the main functions are that the mandate, if I may put it that way, is to inspect or investigate and give a report. You investigate various the organizations. It can be the provincial organs, the organizations of the government in any way. It can be on your own as a commission or by a complaint, then you start to investigate, you inspect, and you give a report to the National Assembly. And the investigations will entail as to what would be the complaint before you, but is why they're talking about when the grievance of the employees of the public service, the transfers, their promotion, it's just wide. So it's like an advising the provincial government in that, and if you have strategized, then you monitor and check if the strategies are working and the policy making just involved in the, and you monitor and see if the strategies are working. You report if they are not working. Of course, you'll have to have another way, but the advisory capacity of the commission is also part of it.
Thank you, members. Any other questions?
My name is Pam. I just want to remind you again and relax you a bit. Now, I'm listening while we're talking about your experience at work, and my understanding is that you have that link between the public service and your job in terms of the NA, because you're dealing with cases on a daily basis. So there is a link between your job and the public service. And I just want to check what are the common cases that are coming to you that you deal with every day, those that are common in the public service. I have other questions. I just want to start with that one.
Thank you. The cases that we coming across on a daily basis are grievances, dismissals, unfair labor practices, maybe interpretation and application of collective agreements for where they are collective agreements. So when I saw the advert, I also saw that, okay, my experience can be relevant in that, especially when we still going to deal with the grievance of employees, their promotions, demotions, or how they working and the advisory issues thing, and the strategy as well. And that experience, I think, as a member, board member of a GAP, which we can say the public service, the Gauteng Enterprise Propeller is a public service, and I've been a board member there. We're dealing with public issues on a daily basis when we are in meetings, and I belong to committees as well. And one of the committees is the Personnel and Remuneration Committee. Yes, that's where my experience, and I think it is going to be relevant in the advert or in the position.
The second question, Josephine, is that of the corruption in the public sector. I thought maybe you will mention the corruption as one of the cases. And then what do you think you can do in order to fight the corruption in the public sector? Because that's the challenge, one of the challenges that the public sector has.
Yes, I agree that is a challenge, but not for the public service. Any organization will have a challenge of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I apologize for not mentioning that, but the case is when I said unfair dismissals, when you ask a person why were you dismissed, you'll find that the person has misappropriated the funds.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the cases, you'll find that those are the cases whereby the funds of the state have been misused, and that is very, very, very much common. And just to answer as to how can we fight corruption, I think the government is doing something in relation to that. But as long as the systems inside the organizations are not tight, of which that's what I've read or I've noticed or observed when I'm doing cases, you'll find that the systems inside is so loose that any person can transfer the money into any account or take a bit when he's checking at the end or when he's paying, or even the tenders are just the main issues that they need to be attended to. You'll find that most of the corruption is surfacing on the tenders as well. So I think we should help as well. I want to quote that I think it was this beginning of this month or last, from the end of last month, in Ekurhuleni they had a public service week, and I was impressed when I attended, because some of the issues that they were deliberating upon as to how can we improve the service delivery, and that factor came, and they were just in heavy on it to say they needed to fight it, and they had to establish a call center and other mechanisms where it would make it easy for people or members of the public to report. Remember, for now, we can say whistleblowers are protected, but I can tell you as a seated here that they are not, and they are still afraid until we have a way to assure them that if you come and blow a whistle, you are protected, because people are dying, you know, people are getting in danger by reporting. So that's where we should start, because the reporters are many outside as interested public members of the public, but they are afraid to come forth and report that. Yeah.
May I follow up, please? You have mentioned the fact that, you know, we don't have appropriate systems within the public service, the issue of tenders, it's not being managed properly, and you have also mentioned the issue of the whistleblowers not being protected.
in your view, what do you think then is the role of the Public Service Commission to ensure that all these shortcomings that you have mentioned are attended to?
I thank you. Like I've mentioned, you investigate, you advise, and the policy making is one of them. Strategizing is one of the functions of the commission. When you strategize, those are the issues that you sit down and say, how can we strategize, how can we overcome a challenge that is before us? And I can still say that those are still challenges that need to be dealt with. And like I say, they are points that they should be attributed to the government. They are doing their bit, but there is a somewhere, somehow, there is still a shortcomings. The systems inside the organizations will depend on as to from organization to organization and their policies. And the shortfall will emanate from the policy that you've got in place. Because if the policies is not watertight, the policies is not clear, then you'll still have such things that now the system is not clear. The IT things, when even I'll quote, when I'm listening to cases, they'll call an IT guy who will come and tell us, how did it happen that the man was transferred into somebody's account, and so can you trace? And it's just not you. Sometimes you're just not getting the best software in the organization. So that is what I was referring to, that each organization must start there to have a tight system. And the function of the commission will come there and at least to check if really the system in place can do its bit and improve on it. In any way, now we wake up and develop and improve every day. At least there is a base. But when we wake up, we say, how can we improve? So the policies are there, but they need to be improved. And some of them, not all of them, a few of them need to just to be revisited and checked.
Sorry, Honorable. Still another follow-up. But now, how do you think the commission can rectify these things with the commission only being able to recommend and not enforcing? So how do you think the commission can achieve that, ensuring that the systems are in place, the policies are being followed to the letter, etc.?
Like you have stated, so that the commission can only recommend. The values of the, let me say, the personal practices, if they are willing, if I'm willing to give an example, if I'm willing to get help, to get assistance so that the organization that I'm managing, the organization that I'm driving, goes somewhere or do the right things, I will, even if you recommend something, I will take that up and do something about it. So if we recommend as a commission to say, this is how you should do it, you may reduce, not to say completely do away with that, you may reduce, or it's a starting point to reduce corruption also, and the person who at his heart or her heart want to drive the organization somewhere will take the recommendations, such recommendations. But as a recommendations, you are saying it's like a dog without a teeth, but we are there to build one another.
Council, how much experience you got in human resources?
Really wide, and I think in my CV there is somewhere there where I've mentioned that I've got the certificate in as well in IR. And the human resources, when you do the dispute resolutions as well, you deal with the policies, the code of conduct, the recruitment, the promotions of people and all other things on a daily basis. And in my capacity as a practicing advocate, I also had the opportunity to draft the policies for several many organizations that I cannot maybe count up to now. So I do the trainings for the human resources, for the HR, starting from when I was a legal advisor. You'll deal hand in hand with the HR because you'll do the disciplinary hearings as well. You'll start there and you'll draft the policies of the HR as a legal advisor. That was one our main functions as well in there. So that's where I've started. My human resource experience started as back as 1995.
Counsel.
Oh, sorry.
Can you function in the team? And the other question is, how good are your communication skills?
The first one I'll just answer without maybe start to deliberate on it. I'm very good in a team, and I'm a team leader or leading in some of the committees. I'm the chairperson of the committees. I'm good in the sense that I don't say I'm leading, then you are in the work on it, and I'm breaking you, but we just one team, and up to so far, my teams or committees are very happy with me. And as to the communication skills, I think after this interview, you'll have to write me because I'm busy communicating with you. Yeah, then you'll get the answer.
Honorable
Chair,
this is whether
you're
aware that
this job is
full-time.
Yes, ma'am, that's what I've seen in the advert. That I've seen.
Oh, because I'm looking at the TV. You've never been in a full-time job, if I'm not making a mistake.
When I was asked to give the background, that's where I started. I've been a full-time employee in the local government. The EGSC is Ekurhuleni now, is there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And the Pietersburg TLC as well is the local government. I've been a full-time employee there, where I was heading the division. So I have been a full-time employee.
I see that, Chair, that in one of your work experience, you've been you're a member of the Progressive Business Forum. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, there is this a business forum that it has started. I know that has got nothing to do with whether you belong to any party. It's just for developing the entrepreneurs. So it has been started by the ANC, as you can see it says it is the ANC initiative, but to develop all the entrepreneurs or the small businesses, the SMEs that would like to benefit from this. So you can become a member just for experience sake and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And in any way at GAP, Housing Enterprise Propeller, that our mandate there is to develop the SMEs in Gauteng. So anything that relates to the small businesses, then I become interested.
Okay.
So you are just become a member.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a membership.
There is something else that I've marked somewhere, and I'm trying to check where. Because you've mentioned the workshop in the Kuluren public. What did you do there? Were you part of the organizers of the workshop?
No. It has been organized by the it has been organized by the provincial government, but they bring the knowledge down and invite the members of the public. Yeah, and myself as a member of the GAP as well, where I'm developing the SMEs, it was our part to benefit or to impart our what we've got for the SMEs for the development.
My last question, Chair, is
your understanding of Matuki? I'm saying my last question is the understanding of Matuki. What is your understanding of Matuki?
Okay. The starting point will be that the power to the people, and Batubili, they are principles that were listed as principles for Batubili. I think they are up to 10 or more than that. So when we wake up, like I've already said, when we wake up every day, we're saying, how can we improve the service delivery? And in order to improve the service delivery, that's where we start. If you draft your policy and saying, I want to improve on a service delivery, you go and visit Batubili, which will inform you about how it's important to consult, how it's important to, for transfer to be transparent, and customer impact, because these people, you view them as customers. So as soon as you view them as customers, you want to render a better service to your customer and the courtesy. So they are listed here, the service standard. What standard is our standard keeping up with the demand? Are we doing the right thing? That's where when we wake up every day, we visit those principles and say, we're improving on consultation. Are we transparent enough? And the courtesy and those best values that we can put in place to make our customers happy.
One last question. On that point of Batubili, very important to me. Council, would you recommend that each and every official public service have a Batubili booklet in his pocket every day? Would you recommend that? To improve service delivery?
Can I answer?
Yeah.
I thank you. In my personal opinion, I would say that is the Bible. That is the Bible of any public service official.
You know Professor Shongema? What is the Professor? Sangweni.
Sangweni. I know you.
Now, I just want to know as to whether you are aware of any changes that have come about in the public service generally, which have come up as a result of the recommendations made by the Public Service Commission.
Okay. The knowledge that we will have as outsiders, like myself, regarded as the outsiders, is to read the report that we had the opportunity to read, and the reports dating back to 2005, there's lots of them, and I think, yes, I've seen the address by the chairperson, especially in the recent report where I think the deliberation in, especially on the values and principles and how to improve them, those things were discussed there. What I've realized, the no major change as I've read, up to where I've read the reports that I've read, I haven't come across a major change, but this goes back to what I've been saying, that you improve and in your improvements you'll say, let us change this to go like the other way around, and that will be a change, but it's not a change per se. We'll still have the basis as to how can we best drive the Batopili, and we go forth. So those, I would say, they were just discussing the improvements that have already pointed out.
Now that you have mentioned the reports that are being produced by the Commission, which, in your view, of those reports are most important, and why do you think so?
To say one report was not important and the other one was important, then it won't do good for that. All the reports are very important because they were addressing the issues at that time. They were reporting about the issues at that time. It's just that whatever you report about this year might not be the same as what you will report about next year, because the things are going on changing every time. You're meeting new challenges, and those challenges will embed them in your report. So they are all very interesting reports. In fact, when you read them, you won't stop reading them. They are all very, very important. And they link in any way if you read them. They just supplement or complement one another.
Want to talk?
I like this question from CCMA, that in one of the reports of public service, there was a complaint, I still remember that, cases are not, I think three quarters of the cases, there are delays in terms of attendance cases. In the public service, and they were saying, I can't remember the number now, but I just want to make an example of, if we have about 1,000 cases, only one quarter of that the department is actually dealing with. And there was a complaint from the public service committee in parliament that, why are you delaying? Why are they taking time in terms of dealing with the cases? I'm asking you this question because you should know, where are the delays? Are they from the CCMA or from the, what is the problem? Why? Because most of the reports are saying cases, they don't deal with them immediately. They take time to deal with the cases. Cases of corruption, cases that you've mentioned when you were giving me, the type of cases that you deal with every day.
You know, it's an interesting issue. You know, if you check, there are examples that you're reading through the newspapers every day, whereby you'll find that an official, be it of the local government or a public service official, has been suspended for more than a year or so. Because there is still an investigation to be done. And I will go back to what I've said. Each organization must be serious about their values and principles. What is it that they are doing? Because as I'm the manager of this organization, I decided to suspend you today, and thereafter I don't deal with the matter. Then after a year, I'm still paying you a salary. After a year or 2 years, I don't know when you have end 24-month salary. I don't know. Then you deal with the matter. It's not even more effective. The evidence has been maybe tinted. The witnesses, you can't even get a hold of them. The documents are getting lost, and the people are just escaping, because when you can't prove, you are needed to prove something for 24 months ago. You can't prove, then people are scapegoated. It's something like escaped, you know. And that is where the delay as well is. But there are several factors that may contribute, or we can attribute to the delay. Some people will say they are understaffed. Okay, and to increase the staff, you'll find that the budget is constrained, the budget is restricting, even if they want to increase the staff. And one of the principles of that bill is just to developing the development of the career development. You know, we need to develop people. We need to impart skills on people, because sometimes I just and the manager of this organization, I suspend you. Thereafter, I don't know how to go about this case. That is why that can cause the delay. I was still saying there are several sectors involved there, yeah. And maybe what I can mention as well, as a commissioner who most of the time preside over matters, you'll find that some of the cases do not really carry the merit. But because we've got a free service to lodge a dispute or to report a matter, we just queue, you know, every time to say, I've been aggrieved. So most of the cases, you'll find that out of 10, four cases do not carry the merit. So we will have, we are still like, we want to test this a nice service, a democracy that is just arrived to us. And I also want to go and report and say, yes, previously I could not do this. Why can't I report? And we do report. But at the same time, it's good. It means that there is a dissemination of information going to the people, and they become aware of the organizations or platforms where they can go and cry, and they do that. But they are several things.
Okay. What are the core acts, or rather the legislative provisions that the commission uses to evaluate and monitor the overall performance of the public service?
The Constitution, the Public Service Commission Act, but when we decide that we're going to evaluate a certain organization, I think we will have to evaluate that organization looking at its legislation or its policies thing. So you'll have to consider that, what policies are in place. Because compliance, sorry, I'll keep on going there, because when you say something, you remember something. To see compliance as well is also the function of the commissioner, to see that the organizations are compliant. So for you to tell that they are complying or not complying, you'll have to look at what is it that they had to comply with, which is their legislation in place, their national legislation or their policies, whatever they are using as their Bible. Are they really reading the verses every morning?
Thank you. And let's talk about you now, personally. You have indicated some, you know, loopholes in the system. And what value are you as a person going to add, especially in ensuring that all those loopholes that you have observed are being addressed? What are the strengths that you have, that you are bringing to the Public Service Commission that will improve the overall operation of the service, of the Public Service Commission?
You know, the main and the only one is for me to identify that they are loopholes. That is the value that I'm bringing to say, can you see the loopholes? And when they are the loopholes, then at least there is a way, there is a strategy. How can we overcome the loopholes? And seated here, just to say, I'm going to do or I'm going to advise on 1, 2, 3, then I will be advising, as a legal person, I know that, I will be advising on a vetting. You'll have to give me something to work on. Okay, but it's generally so I can tell you the loopholes that I've already indicated to you. But this organization today, being inside here, I wouldn't say specific and specific, but you'll have to give me something to work on. You'll have to give, let's say, for example, you give me a policy and say, this is a financial policy, this is a recruitment policy, this is it. And when I read it, I'll say, yes, the loopholes, these are the loopholes. You work on something, you advise a person because a person puts something on the table to work on. But this is a general challenge that I'm quoting. The challenges that can be observed outside, and there are challenges that we don't even become aware of as the outsiders, as the members of the public. You can only become aware of them when you are inside or somebody informing them about them. So when you are inside, next to the problems, then you deal with the specific problems at that time.
Before I ask my last question, any other questions from members?
Okay, when can I make a comment?
Okay. My last question is, do you have any questions for us?
No.
Oh, thank you. Honorable, you is your comment?
Yeah, you're the first lady in here this morning. And I'm the only guy in here. I'm the only man in here. I hope you will excuse me now of the panel. I hope you accept that.
Okay.
And I will be objective. Thank you.
I thank you. I thank you. I think that has better. I know. I think he said he's a for a table. He knows that ladies will be for ladies.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for traveling all the way. And mainly for the interest, you know, that you have shown. A lot of people these days don't want to serve anything that has to do with the public, and we still appreciate when people come forth and say, I am available. And we wish you all of the best. You will definitely hear from us the outcome of the interview, and we wish you all of the best in what you are doing and what you will, ever will be doing in the future.
Nice,
thank you.
And thanks for the opportunity to answer.
Thank you.
May
I
be
excused? Yes, sure. Travel safely.
Thank you. And ask the children to show you how to push off.
I will.
They are good.
Okay.
On the eye of me.
I miss you. You know that.
You did.
What happened?
I was here last week for a meeting that did not take place, but make sure Steve wants it played.
That's so.
Yeah, he's going to end up coming for them.
Yeah, I'm the secretary who met up the meeting, you know, and also in the committee that is supposed to apply the right committee.
Oh.
So if you came in when you were seated there, and I suspected you should be thinking it's our.
We cannot see here. This is our
no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Good.
No, my dear.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay.
You are free and
okay. Okay.
You don't really have to.
So, and all the candidates are coming in.
Yes.
There's no cancel. Oh, okay.
No cancellation.
Okay.
This is a network.
Okay.
And then the other four will do tomorrow.
Okay.
I have to leave on Sunday.
Oh, you have a meeting then?
No, there are people concerned.
Oh.
You're supposed to touch the NA. You're supposed to touch the
Thank you, yes. you're definitely brother age factor in the kind of stupid thing. You know, for one person I was saving, they said, but he's too old.
Without necessarily looking at this question.
Yes, I don't.
No, no. We're not confined to them. We can.
Your profile, your CV, and we have an idea of your experience, but now that you are here, we would really appreciate it, to get it from you directly. If you can just briefly, in a minute or two, share with us your experience in terms of where you come from, in terms of the public service, if you have any experience in the public service, and at a managerial level, whether within the public service or outside. Thank you.
Okay, to start off, I'm from Durban, and you see from my city, I'm from Durban. Now, I started off right at the bottom, where I worked in an administrative position. Okay, from there, I moved on because of, you know, at certain times the company had closed down, and there was liquidations in the following company that I worked for. Then I did another management position that I did called Jackson's Traders. It was a small organization, a company. Management aspects of that, well, the staff was few, you know. There was not much management, just overall the staff and the taking care of the cash and seeing deliveries and you know, that sort of thing. Not really much of them. And then following that, I went to a clothing company, started off at the bottom, and worked my way up towards cabinet making position, a supervisory position, where I would supervise the staff over there as well. And after that position, then I was, while doing this, you know, at a clothing company. I was being promoted within that, from where I started off, got to the top. And then I was also studying, okay, and which was for my BProc LLB, okay. And when I just almost qualified, and then I applied for a post as an articles clerk, okay, and I got that. So I was there for a while, and then I wanted to come into the bar, and so I applied, you know, for admission at the bar. And then I've been at the bar since 2002.
Okay. What do you understand to be the major functions of the Public Service Commission?
Well, from I read the Public Services Act and the Public Service Commission Act, and what I've gathered from there is that it's like an advisory body overseeing management and personnel in the public services. At, giving advice and doing investigations, seeing to grievances that come from certain personnel. And these are the things that that are submitted, you know, reports are submitted to the committees. And from there, you know, they would proceed based on the recommendation of the commission. So.
Okay, in your view, having read those acts and being a South African yourself, receiving services from the public service, what is your view regarding the efficiency of the Public Service Commission as such, and where, what do you think are the shortcomings of the commission?
I have to say that I apart from reading the Commission Act and the Public Service Act, I don't have any in-depth knowledge of that. But I will say, you know, insofar as the public services are going, the performances have started, you know, based on my practice and seeing that the number of matters that come into court, you know, there are lots of matters that come into court because the performance levels have been so bad. And these matters are there to compel the respective government departments, you know, to do the duties, provide the IDs, to deliver the particular service. So in that respect, you know, I have the very, you know, limited and basic knowledge of public service deliveries.
Okay, so you wouldn't be in a position to have observed any shortcomings.
But you know, when you interact with the public service departments, obviously, you know, if you're going to apply for an ID, then you're going to interact with the public service departments, you know, the personnel within the department, and from there you would observe their shortcomings, you know, whether they don't respond to your queries or they fight, or you receive your documents late or not at all, you know, so these are basically, you know, my interactions with these departments, or if I particularly notice their shortcomings.
Coming from a legal background and in terms of constitutional law and labor relations, using what legislation would the commission be basing its report, its findings? Which legislation would the commission be using?
Well, the Constitution, our Constitution, you know, is the governing body. It oversees every other little piece of legislation, every other piece of legislation will have to comply with the Constitution. And the Constitution makes provision for the Public Services Act, the Public Services Commission Act.
Okay.
Okay.
And if you were to tell us anything about the Public Service Act, if you know anything about the Public Service Act, if you have to paraphrase or just give us a broad brush of it, would you be able to tell us anything more?
Well, basically, it makes provision for the Public Service Commission and the duties and functions of the Public Services Commission, what being in line with the constitution and grievance procedures. It makes provisions, you know, how grievance procedures have to be followed, and investigations that have to be conducted, the monitoring and the report backs, and I think these are all the things that are provided, that it's an empowering act. So that will be the Public Services Commission Act.
Thank you, sir. You know, we're a bit worried that the Public Service Committee in Parliament most of the time, because we get reports of corruption here, and we know that Public Service Commissioners are supposed to be dealing with that. What would you do? Let's say we take you. What would be your first, you know, task in terms of making sure that you deal with corruption?
I think the most important thing is to investigate thoroughly, okay? Because you might get a certain different opinion, and they might, while there may be an allegation, it might not necessarily be true. So I believe that thorough investigation is required first of all, and then you would interview people, you would consult with them, but then you would observe and go in there and make those findings when you're dealing with issues of corruption.
Now, coming from the legal member, and I said this even to the previous candidate, because she went to CME, that most of the time we always complain that we have many public service members that might be suspended, I just want to make an example, and getting money, something like 2 years, and you ask ourselves, what are the delays? What do you know about what is the cause of this delay? What would you do to improve so that they deal with these complaints immediately?
I think, you know, if you have a strong management in position, then they also have to be accountable. Okay, so the first place you would go to is management, whose job is to oversee the juniors in there, and find out from management. That will be the starting point, you know. What has he done? What's he done? You know, even investigating, has anything been done? Has there been investigation? Where consultations are taking place? Where these allegations of corruption investigated at the bottom level before it proceeds, you know, further on. And so, yeah, if you have a good management in position, you know, then they should be accountable, you know, for their juniors. And then, of course, you know, then from there, then you would take it further up, the investigation, monitoring, and procedures.
Madam Ravina, you don't mind if I call you by your first name. Are you aware of the reports that are being produced by the Public Service Commission from time to time? And what is your view regarding them? Do you think there are those that are more important than others, and why would you think so? Or to you, they just similar, you can put them at the same level?
Oh, I have to say that I've been into your website and I've looked at the reports, and I believe that every question or every time the Public Service Commission is asked to investigate and report back, I believe it's important. It was directed to the committee for a purpose. They're relying on you, on the committee, to come back with the recommendations, and so that they can act based on those recommendations. So every time that a question is sent to or the committee deals with the project, so I believe that it is equally important. You know, one cannot be more important than the other. I should be treated, you know, equally with the same amount of competence that every other question is being dealt with.
Are you aware of any changes that have certain significant changes that have taken place in the public service as a result of recommendations made by the Public Service Commission?
I have to tell you that I haven't observed any recommendations that were done by the Public Service Commission and the public has or the department has acted based on those recommendations. So I don't think I'll be in a position to tell you that I've observed not as far as in my practice or in my perhaps in my daily life or in interacting with public service departments on that level. That's on the level that the commission has made certain reports and based on those reports, the public service is actually
Okay then, in your view, do you think the Public Service Commission is actually adding any value to the public service? What value is it adding, if so?
Well, I believe it is adding value because if you look at it, the public service is relying on the Public Service Commission to investigate and evaluate and to report back and monitor certain questions that are on certain projects, and then the public service is going to act on those based on those recommendations and those reports. So yes, they definitely have a valuable place.
Now let's look at you as a person now, mm-hmm. with your strengths. Well, I don't want to talk about weaknesses. I just all what we need here is your strength. With your strength, what value do you think you can add in the operations of the Public Service Commission?
Okay. I'd like to say that I'm a confident person. My background in the legal fraternity has given me the confidence to act. It also has given me certain skills in the respect that consultations, doing grievances, and in the labor respects, doing reports and monitoring and observances. And I'm very goal orientated. I'm very focused. And if I have something to do, I will do it because I'm a perfectionist. I like being good at what I do. So I will make sure that whatever I get to do is done. Okay. And in those respects, I believe I'm a very loyal person. I'm very dedicated. I'm an achiever. I start at the bottom. I've got to the top, and I'm very focused.
And affirmative action in the public service, in your view, is it being implemented successfully? Is it contributing to the productivity level in the public service? What is your perception about the impact of affirmative action?
Well, affirmative action has been excellent in empowering women, because if we look at our parliament itself, although there's not equal representation of women, but there is, we can proudly say in South Africa that we have a large number of women in parliament. So, as well as in the local departments, in government departments, and maybe not in the private sector, that hasn't infiltrated as much. But in the public sector, public service, the affirmative action has done, a very good job in empowering women, in progressing people previously disadvantaged. I myself am sitting here because, based on my demographics, and I would not be here if it was not for the legislation, the empowering legislation, the the Employment Equity Act, and certain other legislations which enables me to be here. So affirmative action, yes, it is doing well in the public service, but the private sector, well.
fortunately, we are not in the public, I mean the private sector. still talking about you, I really appreciate the way you, express yourself to us, you know, being confident, being goal-oriented. Those are people that I really want to associate with. But yes. And for me, I believe passion has got a long way to go with whether you become successful or not. Can you share briefly with us what your passion is?
My passion is the law. And when I started studying, I loved it immediately. The first course I did, I loved it immediately. And so it has been my passion, and I like to, everything within this legal field, to excel in that, to be good in that. And so, yes, what has driven me, you know, what drives me is my passion for the law. And as well as, although I may not have said this or may have said that, but, you know, in the public, looking at taking care of the poor and the downtrodden, you know, this is where my passion lies, and this is where I would eventually like to get to move into, you know, where I can be of service to the public, you know, especially, you know, rural communities and, the underprivileged and yeah, that's my passion.
Did they tell you about the recorder?
The recorder?
Didn't they? But you are recorded.
I believe when I press this button?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to?
Yeah.
But you are recorded what you just said now.
Yes.
In case you come out on top, I'm going to remind you of this, no?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members? None. Do you have any questions for us?
And this post is based in, is it in Cape Town or is it in Pretoria?
We're referring to a national provisioner, commissioner,
okay.
Which means, but we do have offices here, we do have offices in Pretoria as well.
Sometimes you go by air, sometimes by ship.
Yeah, and you
get
the nature. Sorry, Chair, there's something that I missed from your presentation. What are you doing at the moment?
I'm in practice at the moment. I'm practicing as an advocate in Durban.
Oh, okay. Just to add in, he's also a provincial commissioner in KwaZulu-Natal in a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Udit is not responding to that one, because the legislature also sent out applicants.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that one via the Premier's portfolio. Now that's based in the province,
mm-hmm.
in the in Maritzburg.
Mm-hmm.
This one is the national.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing that up, because now with the provincial commissioners, those are nominated by the premier.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do here at this level, we only are looking at national commissioners.
Yeah.
I hope you understand that. Yes.
If I choose between member in national parliament or provincial, I choose national.
You know? Oh, you're DA. Okay. I'm telling you about that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the time, and thank you for coming. And once more, we really appreciate your making yourself available for serving as a public service commissioner. And we wish you all of the best. You'll hear from us in due course, and all of the best.
I want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. I was like, to put it, you know, mildly, I was blown away when I got the call, you know, that I would be. I'm really proud of being here, just being here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Travel well.
Thank you.
You can have your water.
Nobody wants
it. I have one.
They don't get dehydrated enough.
A lot of people have a problem differentiating between the Public Service Commission
yeah.
and the public service.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to think that it's the same thing.
Mm.
Like
I'm saying,
I also struggle
with yeah.
I'm
also you. So I'm a skeptic, right? Because, yeah. don't make it
you know, the Public Service Commission, it yeah. is a commission that evaluates the job that is done by the public service, by all the departments.
Okay.
It is different from the Department of Public Service and Administrative Services.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it is a
separate
body.
It's a higher body.
Exactly.
Okay. No. Not higher than us. We are intact.
No,
but you mean it is a public service.
Yeah.
They look at the work of the public service and say evaluate and report to us. Anything, just be free to ask, and we are here to
extent the challenges of this job. Right? We have looked at your CV, all the documents that you have sent, your office, the application letter.
And but you know, now that you are here with us, we would like you to briefly just share with us your experience in terms of where you come from, your education, your experience in the public service, your experience at managerial level. Just briefly.
Thank you, Austin. Good morning, everybody. My name is Sedina Sita Nkosi, as it appears that I was born and bred in Barberton. I studied for primary teacher certificate. Thereafter, I saw that that was not enough. Then I upgraded myself to have a PTD and also write my matric through private studies. I started teaching. Fortunately, it was a two-teacher school. By then, there were very few qualified people. I started by being a principal of a two-teacher primary school, which I had it from 1980 until 1993. When I left, it was an 18-teacher school. Then I also upgraded myself. I enrolled with UNISA, got my BA in 1994, and also continued, got my BEd in 1997. Then also, because I like studying, then enrolled for the Master's in Public Admin. What made me to do Master's is just that in Public Admin, I said, I've gained a lot of experience as a teacher. Then now I had to take another line where, because in teaching I've made a contribution for more than 24 years, then I said that as a career grows and also as a person, you don't need to be just standing in one thing. You have to have ambitions. And also to want to do something new so that you get new challenges, you don't become stagnant. That's why I took my master's in public admin from there. I was transferred by the department in 1994 to go and open an English medium school, that is DNC, which served as a model school because in the area that I was staying, it was a rural area where we did not have model C schools. So they started this school so that it can serve that purpose, to say that what others can do, we can also do it. I did that by visiting the independent school to see how are they doing things, so that we took something modified, adapt to fit our situation. Then I said, I've been in teaching for the past 24 years, let me change. Then I was appointed. Firstly, I was asked to help with an opening of an independent school in Nelspruit. I was volunteering there. Then I stayed there for 2 years. Thereafter, I got a permanent job with Penn South African Language Board as a provincial manager from Mpumalanga when they introduced provincial managers because Penn South was just at head office in Pretoria. It was not known by other people. So they started that they have to decentralize it and put it in provinces. So I was the one that started the office in Mpumalanga. As a career growth, I applied in local government because when doing master's, I also had interest in local government. By then, most negative things were said about local government, admin, otherwise. Then I said, as a person who's passionate about public service, let me do something in local government so that I can go and see what it is that makes local government to be what it is. Then I applied for a post of being director of corporate services. I know very few women are occupying those posts because it's a challenging post to be in corporate, because legal is under you, property, council agenda, everything is there. So as it is now, I am the Director of Corporate Service in Albert Luthuli Municipality. That's all that I can say about myself.
Okay, thank you very much. That's wonderful work that you have done. Now, coming back to the Public Service Commission, what do you understand to be the major functions of a Public Service Commission?
I can start by saying that when we were students, we were addressed when we're doing masters, we were addressed by Professor S.S. Sangweni and also Dr. Richard Levin, by that time he was a doctor, to come and give us an idea of public service. Because when we started, they were there lecturing at us, then we said, we are from education, but we also take ourselves as public servants, but we don't know most of the acts. There were public service acts or public service regulations. Then we said, this is something new to us, although we attempt as public servants, but we don't know most of the acts that govern public service. Then I got an interest there. I think the work of public service commission most of the time is to investigate, monitor, evaluate the organization. That is all the organization and public admin. We know it's a mammoth task because they are looking at the whole thing, because it's a core function, that one of investigating, monitoring, and also coming up with remedies to say that these are the findings that we got when we were investigating or when we were monitoring. And if we find this, we should come up also with remedies so that this does not happen in future, or we minimize the happening. Just like now, we know that corruption is very rife. Then, if there are cases of corruption that the public service will attend to, the findings will help the organization so that they curb other instances where this will be happening, because now they'll be knowing that this is the track that people follow. Just like now, they don't deposit money in the bank, but you have to follow the lifestyle. The lifestyle will tell you that there is corruption. This person cannot afford to live the life that he or she is living. So I think it's monitoring, evaluation, and also investigating.
Now, in your opinion, in your view, do you think the Public Service Commission is really living up to its mandate, and or are there any shortcomings that you think are prevalent there?
I think they are living to that mandate of enhancing excellence in government, because we cannot rate South Africa as worse when we are comparing with other SADC countries. We are also there going with them. There are best practices that other SADC countries can get from us. So I think Public Service Commission is just getting there, but unfortunately, you'll find out that most of the findings, it's not that much communicated downwards. You'll find out that it's only the big guys or the department, the provincial, that will be knowing that these are the findings that Public Service Commission has done, leaving to their mandate that is in the constitution, but only to find that it's not communicated downwards.
Ma'am, you remind me of Dr. Amapela when I look at you. When you talk. I would like to know, do the Matapile, do you understand some of the principles of the Matapile?
I do understand them.
Give me one or two.
Give one or two each consultation where I've taken local government. We have the IDP. The IDP comes because through consultation. You consult, it starts from what-based, where you'll be looking at the needs of the people so that you don't impose. You go with them. This is what their needs. You prioritize. So consultation is important. We have to consult the people that we are giving services. And also value for money.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, fine.
Did you come across any report of the public service? And then, if yes, what are the common challenges?
It's just that I did not come across upon a report. Is that when we attended Batupili Learning Network last year in Pilapila, we had a director from the Public Service Commission that cited that a questionnaire has been sent to different departments but very few departments responded. So those are the reports where they were saying that just like when we take Batupili, you find out that there are departments that says we are not, Batupili has nothing to do with us because we are not dealing with the people, they will say people first. So that's the report that I got, which was presented by, I can't remember the person that.
Oh, sorry, sir. One of the common challenges is corruption, and you did mention corruption. So, if we were to take, I'm not saying we're going to take you, if we were to take you, what would be your first task to deal with corruption?
Dealing with corruption, I know it's a mammoth task that you cannot say you just deal it with once. First, I think we have to be honest. We will be getting reports, and also we have hotlines that report corruption. Then if they report corruption, we don't have to say people just like talking. There's no smoke without fire. Once they say there is corruption, it means there is corruption. There is something that they have observed and say, this warrants corruption. So what I would do, I think investigating, although you end up not being popular, but as it is your duty, you have to do it, and we want a corruption-free public administration. I think by investigating, whenever we receive information, and also to protect whistleblowers, because most of the time you find that corruption is happening, but people are afraid to come with information because they know that at the end of the day, they will be exposed to. Just like corruption in the police, you'll find that somebody will come and report to say, but the same policeman will go and say, Mama Somela came to say 1, 2, 3 about you. So I think we have to start, once we receive information, we take that up. And we see that we form a team that can keep secret, that can keep confidential information. Because in an SMT, you find out you'll be discussing issue that this department has received information that there is corruption going on and it's senior managers. So you find out one of you will go out and inform the person that they are coming on you. Please remove everything. So I think we have to form a team that we know that it's of matured people that can keep secrets so that when we start with the investigation, we know that it's safe, it ends up with us.
In your CV, one of your personal attributes is the commitment to the empowerment of women. And, one of the issues we always deal with in our community is the gender profiling in the public service. How would you say, how have we done in terms of women in the public service? Your view on that?
We are doing well. Although I'm supporting that, but I always tell my sisters that if it happens that you are given a post, and sometimes it's through affirmative action, you are not sure of what to do, please consult. Because whenever you fail, you are doing it for all the women around. So know your story. If you find out I'm given a position, I don't have more information, let me read. Go to internet, consult, network. So I'm for women empowerment, and I'm also passionate about that. Where I am, that's what I promote, and I'm also invited to talk in Women's Day, where I talk about women empowerment and encouraging women to do things for themselves.
No, this is not
on the book. Okay. Your first name?
It's Selina.
Selina. The second one?
Sitane.
Yes. I like it. Okay, thank you, sir.
that's honorable to you, Liz.
I just want to find out from you as to whether you understand exactly the different roles that are played by the Commission and the Department of Public Service and Administration.
Yeah. They
how do you differentiate?
Two distinct but interlinked.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one is investigating, monitoring, and enhancing excellence in governance. This one is implementing. Just like when there are negotiations, it's the Minister of Public who sits there and negotiates on behalf of the state for all the departments besides the sector ones. When we talk about all public servants, they are two distinct but interlinked.
Thank you very much. And then what are the laws or the legislative provisions that are used by the Commission in their work of evaluating and monitoring a performance in the public service?
We are having the Public Service Regulation of 2001. Where we get delegation, the labor relations, compensation, and also the senior management service. We know that in the past we did not have that. Then we have also the Public Service Act of 1997. So that one also helps the Commission, because there you find out what is it that should be done and how it should be done, so that if there is non-compliance, then you have to, just like the grievance procedure, now there is new guidelines also. Those legislations help the PSC to do their work, because without them, what is it that they will be investigating? Because what do? They investigate most of the time the compliance, even the personnel practices, administration-wise, and also to, they don't investigate only, and also to ensure that there is effective and efficient performance within. So this legislation helps this.
Thank you very much. And are you aware of any changes that have been brought about in the public service as a result of the work or the recommendations made by the Public Service Commission? If so, can you just mention one or two?
Yeah, I think it will be under general, because if Public Service Commission was not there, people would be in the public service, would be doing as they like. But now they know that whenever I derail, there is Public Service Commission, which can come because there is a request from provincial office to say, we are suspecting 1, 2, 3, may you please come and investigate. So I will just talk under general that Public Service Commission has got a great role to play, which helps so that there is compliance, because whoever goes to public service knows that there are acts governing administration in public service, and there is also this body that oversees the whole process of public administration, which is mandated by the Constitution, so that if you obstruct it in its performance, it's an offense. Yes, yeah, a great question.
What is your comment about the fact that the Public Service Commission can only make recommendations, but they cannot enforce their recommendations to the departments? What do you think about that?
I think that one has to be looked at, because if I'm just going to make recommendations and nothing is done about the recommendations that I make, it does not add value, and it renders the person just as a toothless dog. But we want to say acts are there to be amended. If we see that an amendment should be done, so that at the end of the day, whatever recommendations the Public Service Commission has come up with, it's taken up. I think that has to be looked at so that the relevance, just like the Portfolio Committee, it's there, and the Public Service is reporting to the Portfolio, and also they report annually to Parliament. I think that's where the chairperson has to say that as a committee mandated by the commission, we find it hard because we do make recommendations, but people do not enforce them. Then why are we making recommendations whereas they cannot be taken? Because when you make a recommendation, you have done your homework well, and you have said, this is what I find. And when looking at this, I think this will help. This will help as a remedy. I think amendments have to be done just following the correct channels.
Thank you. That's a challenge to you, Honorable Minister, as a member of this committee.
Thank you, and now
let's talk about you.
As a person,
Mayor Selina. You have shared with us your understanding of the commission, the public service. And what do you think, as an individual, you would bring into the Public Service Commission to add value and to ensure that we move in the right direction as the public service?
To me, what you see is what you get. To me, when something is wrong, it's wrong. Because I don't believe being artificial. Not that I'm arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant. But it's just that when things need to be done, there are times where you have to be firm. It's not that you are arrogant, whatever it is. It's to add value, it's just that I'm passionate about public service, and we also want to prove to the world, to say that we are not what the world perceives us as if we are the worst corrupt country. It's just some of the things some other countries that do does not go to the media, but because we are a new democracy that everybody is looking upon us, I think it's just to bring trust also in public service, to say we do trust that they can do their work. We also motivate them. If something is not right, we talk about the issues than just shelving issues. We make findings, we shelve them, we recommend, it's not taken, then what is the use? I'm just open, and I like, when it is time for debate, we have to debate issues so that at the end of the day, we come to an agreement. Where we have to compromise, we compromise, but for the sake of good governance, we need to talk issues. With me, as I've said, if things are not correct, they are not correct. We have to talk about them. If there are submissions to be made to the Portfolio Committee, we will be preparing them. I like working in a team so that everybody contributes to the team so that at the end of the day we achieve our goals. I think what I can say is that if I'm appointed, I'm passionate, this is my country, this is my public service. I'm coming up with different experiences. The one that we have to add is from local government, and we are striving for senior public service. I think the experience that I'm coming up with will add value also to the organization. So I think I'll add value to the organization as a person.
Thanks. You have, in more than one occasion, expressed your passion for the public service. What is it exactly that you are passionate about within the public service?
We are serving people. That's the core business. So whenever somebody comes to you as a public servant, because that person, there's no any other place where he can get the service that you have to offer, you have to try your level best so that at the end of the day, the person gets the service that he came for. Because it's not like, it's just like post office. At least now there are agencies that give that services. But if there is no place where that person can apply for a birth certificate or an ID. So as a public servant, the person does not have a choice. I have to do my work diligently. That's why I say we can't do it as public servants. We have to be passionate about our work. We also need to be motivated. If you have done something good, just give that person a pat at the back and say, we've done well. Then the person will have this eagerness to say, whatever I do, it's recognized by my senior.
So you are passionate about offering quality
service
to the people. Mm.
Thank you.
You know, when I listen to you, it's like you know me. Long time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
You need some appreciation.
Any other questions? Do you have any question,
ma'am,
that you'd like to ask from
us? It's just like I'd like to appreciate this. I saw it as a career growth in myself, you know. When you come from moving from the principal, provincial manager, director, then I saw this one is the culmination of my career. That's why. I said, I am going just to tell my kids, you know what, even my granddaughter, to say that I'm from Parliament. You always see Parliament when you go to. And I was saying, I saw the parliamentary, those people who are debating there on TV, I saw them, and I was talking to them. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate you having taken the trouble to come here, and also for showing interest in serving in the Public Service Commission. Thanks a lot. We wish you all of the best. We will inform you in due course about the outcome of this interview. And in the meantime, good luck.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Ma'am, you know what we will say in the morning when you finish 8 o'clock? We will say,
thank you.
Thank you,
somebody loves his job, when somebody speaks about passion in the public service, you know, it touches you. And I apologize if I, you know, but I'm touched, honestly. I can't hide my feelings.
Now I think one thing that I forgot to mention, you know, there's a very bad practice in the institution. People apply for jobs and then we never go back to them. I know we have had 218 applications, but please, we can bring a standard here. I would like us to spend that to acknowledge to you people. We will be advertising again in future. And really, it's not that we did not invite them because they are there. We only had a limited time.
Thank you.